Hello everyone, Neil Patel. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So today I speak to Annika Narayan. She's the founder of Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks is a woman's fashion label that uses natural and handcrafted textiles, and they're based in Chennai. So in this podcast, we talk about how she got started. She talks about quitting her job and taking the plunge into the world of textiles and fashion. She talks about where she gets her inspiration from. She talks about attracting customers using social media, how she balances the management with the creative side of the business. She talks about branding and talks about her management style and how it's evolved over the last 10 years. And we also talk about what will fashion look like in 80 years' time as well. So much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Annika. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Please tell me what you're building.
I started a fashion label called Brass Tacks, and the focus of our work is to use handcrafted textiles and translate them into modern silhouettes for largely for urban Indian women.
Excellent. And what inspired you to do this?
I studied economics in the States. I went to a liberal arts college, and after that, I started working at an economic analysis firm in New York. And it was my first job, first salary after being a student and dressing in grungy clothes. And I was living in New York City, where everybody's dressed to the nines at 8 a.m. So I wanted to go shopping, and I found that I was drawn towards tailored, structured silhouettes, but I miss the fabrics from home. And I actually grew up surrounded by handcrafted textiles because my mom started a sari retail business when she was pregnant with me. So I've grown up surrounded by handwoven textiles and block printed textiles. And I didn't realize women like me who were looking for those clothes. And so I searched for them in New York. I searched for them in Chennai when I would go home to visit my parents. I never found them, and so I said, hey, let's start this.
Excellent. And how's it going so far? Can you share some stats in terms of orders and, you know, how many customers you have?
We have around 4,000 customers in Chennai and a little over 2,000 in Bangalore. Excellent. And, you know, like a little under 1,000 customers in other parts of the country or the rest of the world. The response has been fantastic. There was a void in the market. I started Brass Tacks at a time, actually 10 years ago, at a time when there were either high-end designers working with a lot of bling, or at the lower end of the market, there was a lot of mass-produced fashion that wasn't very imaginative. And there's a huge void in the market of stuff that was priced somewhere in between, offering really great quality stuff that wasn't bling, stuff that fits into women's everyday lives.
So you've been doing it for 10 years. I mean, when did you realize that, you know, it was going to work out for you? Was there a particular time?
I've been through several phases of wanting to quit and thinking that this is, that I'm the luckiest person in the world because I get to do this job that I love. So it really ranges depending on how well things are going or how badly things are going. If it's any consolation, I talk to other entrepreneurs and they tell me the same thing. I started without any background in textiles, fashion, or business. And I kind of started on a lark thinking, well, this idea is never going to go away from my brain. I'm always going to have this what if hanging over my head unless I do it. And worst case scenario, it doesn't work. And then maybe I have a good story for business school. But I enjoyed the process so much. There was never any looking back.
Excellent. And looking forward then, what would you say the company would look like in, say, like 5 to 10 years' time?
I always have a hard time with this question because I think it's such a left brain way of looking at things. I'm a designer primarily, so I'm really fascinated by this idea of clothing women who are really intelligent, ambitious, women who represent contemporary Indian thought. And I want to reach out to more women. But what that translates to for somebody who thinks in a more linear fashion is, of course, more stores or more points of sale. At the moment, I want to work towards a show at Fashion Week. And I think we need to look into how we can increase our online sales through third-party retailers.
It seems like quite a competitive market.
I think there's room for everyone at the table because the diversity of the market is huge, and the number of labels and brands that have something unique to offer doesn't quite match up to how much the market can consume. So yes, in a sense, it's competitive. If you're competing with mass-produced labels where price is their main USP. But I think for anybody starting a new business, whether it's in fashion or not, it's not a great idea to start unless you truly believe that you're offering something, you know, of value and something that's distinctly different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I have to believe that that's what I do have to offer. And it's important for me to keep asking myself that question, you know, like, am I producing something that's truly different and truly unique? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't think so much about the market being competitive as whether or not I'm doing something that's different and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you said you were self-taught. I mean, how did you teach yourself fashion design then?
I found a professor of pattern making and I twisted his arm and asked him to teach me classes every Sunday because he was busy from Monday to Friday teaching at university. So he would give me a 4 or 5 hour lesson on a Sunday and he'd give me enough homework to last me through the week and then we'd meet again the following Sunday. And we were actually supposed to do 5 models covering, you know, a basic top, a basic skirt, join them together to make a dress, a trouser and a jacket. But by the time we got to the dress, I opened my store. And then life became so busy afterwards that I never got a chance to learn how to make a trouser and a jacket through formal education. So I just had to teach myself on the job. We created a size chart that works really well for curvy Indian women. And so I couldn't just buy any old trouser and jacket from another brand and copy it because the measurements just wouldn't work. So our pants, which are actually really well appreciated and one of our fastest selling items at our store, it took me literally 110 samples to create our first trouser. It probably would have taken a regular fashion designer way fewer samples, but because I didn't have that formal training, it was trial and error learning on the job.
Actually, what does your mum think of this? Because didn't you say she was she had her own store or something?
Yeah, she and her partner started a sari retail business. So it's more traditional clothing. But we have very similar taste in textiles, very different taste in the end product in clothing. But my parents are extremely supportive of the work that I do and I get a lot of free help from them all the time.
Like I say, you've been doing this for 10 years now. A lot of fashion businesses have failed. Why do you think you're still going then? Why do you think you've succeeded?
Well, what is success measured in? You know, I think I've had a lot of stumbles and learnings, but our business is still relatively small considering it's 10 years old. And so in that sense, maybe every time I've stumbled, the cost of error hasn't been high enough where I've had to shut shop. And I think now in the last couple of years, for the first time, are we focusing on building a really strong team so that we can actually focus more on growth? Whereas initially I had this idea to start a business and then I sort of got, bogged down by the daily grind of running a business and didn't really set up a team in place. Maybe it's lack of experience in age or work or whatever it is, but now is when we're starting to grow and grow in a big way. And so I think the next 5 years are going to be pretty crucial for us to determine how we go forward.
How do you keep on top of trends then?
I like to design clothes that are timeless, and so in a way I don't pay too much attention to trends. Having said that, I think they just infiltrate your consciousness by observing people, by reading fashion magazines, by going in and out of stores. But yes, by and large, I try not to focus too much on trends. I don't think of Brass Tacks as a very trend-driven label.
Where does the Brass Tacks name come from?
It comes from the expression "getting down to brass tacks." Okay. Do you use that expression?
Yeah, okay.
So I was talking with a few friends and my mom about a name, and we couldn't think of a name, and my mom kept offering these Sanskrit names that meant like texture or textiles. And I was like, no, those sound too wishy-washy. I just want something that sort of says this is it. Focusing on the foundation of a garment. I want to make stuff that's simple, well-made, everyday clothes. And she was like, okay, so you just want a name that gets down to brass tacks. And I was like, there's my name.
Excellent. I mean, obviously, social media plays a big part in your business. Do you have like a clear strategy? You know, what works best for you? Is it like Twitter or Instagram or email, etc.?
Initially, Facebook worked really well for us, and we continue to use Facebook, but Instagram works really well for us now. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes a combination, you know, we'll share things on both platforms. We also recently started a blog where we interview women who personify what our brand is about in many ways and, you know, write about them on our blog, and then we in turn share that on social media. In terms of social media strategy, I think we go mostly with intuition. We have some core values that we want to communicate, and we use social media as a platform to share our interests. And the idea is that if we're true to ourselves, then we automatically attract more of our tribe.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk fashion then. Well, yeah, what's your favorite piece of clothing?
I really like silhouettes that have both structure and drape. Right now, I have this wrap dress that I really like because it's, you know, fitted in parts, but also really drapey in parts. I also have this really loose dress. And it's ironic because when I first started Brass Tacks, I said I will never design something that's loose and never design something that's all straight lines, because I was all about making fitted, contoured silhouettes that follow the female form. But recently, and I think this is a global trend that's influenced me, even though I've been, you know, putting an X on trends. Mm-hmm. So recently I've been really influenced by this idea of wearing really loose anti-fit clothes and seeing how you can add little design details or a drape or cinch it in somewhere that makes it look really interesting and fashionable.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose we've all had like fashion disasters. I mean, have you had any fashion disasters?
I don't know. People have been kind enough to not tell me.
Okay. Excellent. And what should guys be wearing then? Yeah, obviously, it's the middle of summer now. Not in the UK, obviously, but, you know, what fashion tips can you give us guys?
I think natural textiles are always the way to go. For warm weather, thin cotton or linen shirts work really well. I like attention to detail. So rather than big, loud patterns, little details around the button placket or the collar or the pocket, I think, are always really striking. And also timeless pieces that you can wear several times over without feeling like you're being noticed in the same thing all the time.
Stupid question, but what would fashion look like in like 50 years or 80 years time, do you reckon, if you have to guess? Would people be still wearing jeans, trainers and T-shirt?
Are everybody wearing jeans, trainers, and T-shirts? Yeah. I think some things will probably stay, but they might evolve in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I move in circles where people talk a lot about sustainability and how that's going to have a huge impact on the way people consume fashion. It's going to have a huge impact on the whole fast fashion industry. But I also think that the reality of the bulk of the market is that they consider what how big their pocket is and how much they can really spend. So it's going to be interesting, but I also think that there's a huge environmental impact on fast fashion. So I don't know. It depends on the rate at which global warming gets worse. Mm-hmm. Either there are laws in place that completely redefine how those industries work, and that in turn is going to affect what materials your T-shirt and your jeans and your sneakers are going to be made of, or it's going to change the price of it or the technology behind it.
I was thinking of like wearables, the wearables market, like, you know, techniques fashion. Is that something you'd go into perhaps?
For me, that's always seemed less organic and more, I don't know, my brain doesn't work that way. I think my initial instinct is to think of it as gimmicky and, you know, something that might be a fad at first, but I could be wrong. It really depends on subcultures, on what people are drawn to.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you've mentioned sustainability and craftsmanship. And, what does that really mean to you?
Sustainability to me used to mean primarily looking at the raw materials that we use, which means using all natural textiles, a strong focus on handcrafted textiles, because not only is that preserving a skill, a lot of them are largely done by hand, which means zero electricity, zero carbon, better for the environment. But recently, I've been thinking that in addition to all of that, it's really important to consider pricing, because I can be in my ivory tower making clothes, and if I'm reaching out to only a handful of people, then how much of an impact does that really have, both on the environment as well as the people whose livelihoods are sustained by my business? Mm-hmm. And so I've been thinking a lot more about pricing so that we can reach out to a wider audience, because for me, true impact is when you're reaching out to a lot more people.
It must be difficult doing the business side as well as like the creative side. How do you manage that?
I'm still trying to figure it out, Neil. I think that's why it's been really important for me to build a team right now. It's in a way, it's really important and a privilege to have a hand in everything, because it's all connected. Mm-hmm. But it's also great to have somebody else handle the boring stuff like your administration and operations, so that I can focus more on growing the business, on creativity, on thinking about what is it that our consumers want. Because you want to put something out there that's different, but you also want to be paying close attention to what your consumers want at the end of the day.
And what's your management style like then? And has it changed over the 10 years?
Yes, it has. And it's still work in progress. I find it so difficult to work with people. I think that I'm the kind of person who likes to be left alone playing with fabric and sketching design ideas and thinking about problems and, you know, how it is that we can solve a problem either through design or better customer service. But I'm learning that in order to build a great team, like, you can't grow a business unless you have a great team. And in order to build a great team, you have to be great with inspiring your team and leading them. And so I've been trying to spend more time with my team and mm-hmm. spending more time in getting them to buy into the company's vision and to really feel inspired and motivated by it.
Mm-hmm. What is the company's vision?
Well, at a product level, it is to translate handcrafted textiles into modern silhouettes. But at a higher level, I'm really motivated and inspired by women who are passionate, ambitious, career ambitious, driven, and women who represent contemporary Indian thought in some way, because we're a former British colony. And so I think there's this colonial hangover, but there's also a lot of exposure to the world and a strong connection to Indian roots. And it's really interesting if you look at urban Indian culture right now, because people are trying to define what it means to be Indian today. And all of that really interests me. So the company's vision is to design something that really resonates with these women so that, we're able to be heard as a voice in this larger dialogue that's happening in the country today.
Last few questions then. What advice would you give listeners who want to get into the fashion industry?
I think it's really important to believe that you can create something, that you have a voice that's really unique, or that you can do something way better than what anybody else is doing, because there's no point in starting another label that's, an imitation of what already exists out there. Yeah, I think it's important to have a unique perspective and to keep asking yourself that question, to keep checking yourself at every step, saying, hey, is what I design still really unique? Is it still really different? Or do I need to innovate some more? And all of this is easier said than done, because when you start a business, you quickly get into the nitty-gritty of, the daily operations, and it's hard to take that step back. But it's a constant dialogue between whoever's doing your R&D and whoever's staying in touch with the consumer.
Actually, how have you gone about building a brand then? Have you actually come up with ideas you put on a paper and see how it goes, or has it just evolved naturally?
Initially, I had ideas that I put down on paper, and then it evolved naturally. And then a few years ago, I did this really interesting exercise where I had to define my consumer right down to the detail of what music she listens to and what she eats. And it made me really think hard about who we design for and who we're interested in designing for. And are we really speaking the kind of language that resonates with that woman? And until a few years ago, I was very product focused. I would listen to customer feedback in terms of fit and colors. It was more sort of superficial incorporation of feedback. But when I did that exercise, it made me think a lot harder into who is it that is drawn towards our products. It made me realize that I need to spend a lot more time getting into the psyche or under the skin of our consumer and sort of understanding what she's really looking for. Mm-hmm. Because clothes aren't just something that you wear to cover yourself when you leave the house. It's also something that could make a statement about what you want to, you know, how you want to be perceived, or maybe it adds to your confidence or allows you to go about your errands every day while still looking good. So that was a really interesting exercise mm-hmm. for me to do. And I would recommend that anybody in any business does that.
Mm-hmm. What do your customers eat then?
A lot of healthy food.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay, excellent. Do you have any heroes or people you admire?
It doesn't have
to be a fashion person.
Yeah, I was going to start with my parents because both of them were entrepreneurs. But I constantly meet people, mentors outside, outside my close group of friends and friends as well who are entrepreneurs. It's odd, but the city that I live in is a city that a lot of people flee from after college because it's not a city that attracts people for jobs in the same way that Mumbai, Delhi, or Bangalore do. But the people who stay back or the people who come back after studying away come back because they either join a family business or they start their own business. Mm-hmm. So by some sort of self-selection process, a lot of my social circle consists of people who run their own business. And so I'm constantly learning from friends as well.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give our listeners about running a business then, for a first-time founder?
Aside from doing something that's really different, I would say it's very important. It can be very lonely running a business. People always say that it's hard work, but hard work to the average layman translates to give up your social life and work lots of hours, many hours. But in addition to that, I think it can be lonely if you're used to having a team of peers and colleagues. And so it's important to artificially recreate that or make time to find mentors and peers who can help you with your work outside of your work.
Mm-hmm. What was the opinion of your friends and family when you told them that you were going to do a fashion business?
Initially, they wanted me to, I have a bachelor's degree in economics. So initially they wanted me to get a master's degree and they said it's too soon. I think there was also this feeling of, well, maybe it won't work out and, she'll go back and get a master's degree. But they were also very supportive. I think it was mixed. I think it was a lot of concern of, is it a little too early? I was 26 when I started Brass Tacks. And, there was this feeling of, hey, there's still a lot of more time to start your own business. Because once you throw down roots, it's hard to kind of up and leave. But they were also very, very supportive.
Mm-hmm. So looking back then, would you change anything?
No. I've thought about that many times. And of course, if I did it differently, then things would have panned out differently. I think I was very impatient at the time. If I had got a master's degree and if I had waited a little while longer, it might not have happened.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So last question then for people who want more information on you and Brass Tacks.
They can look us up on our website. It's brasstacks.co.in. Or on social media.
Excellent. Annika, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much, Neil. That was fun.
Excellent. Thanks to Annika for coming on the show today. Thank you for listening and subscribing. If you like the show, please leave a rating, a review in iTunes. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Since launching, we've had over 200,000 total downloads. I should be back next week. If you want to come on the show, please email me hello@neilpatel.co or tweet at indianstartupsh. Go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.